ask me why I love her? Well, give me time. I'll explain. You've seen a Kansas sunset or an Arizona rain? Have you drifted on a bayou down Louisiana way? Have you watched the cold fog drifting over San Francisco Bay? Have you heard a Bob White calling in the Carolina Pines? Or heard the bellow of a diesel at the Appalachia Mines? Does the call of the Niagara thrill you when you hear her waters roar? You look with awe and wonder at her Massachusetts shore, where men who braved a hard new world first stepped on Plymouth Rock. Do you think of them when you stroll along a New York City dock? Have you seen a snowflake drifting in the Rockies way up high? Have you seen the sun come blazing down from a bright Nevada sky? You hail to the Columbia as she rushes in the sea, or bow your head at Gettysburg, our struggle to be free? Have you seen the mighty Tetons? Have you watched an eagle soar? Have you seen the Mississippi roll along Missouri's shore? Have you felt a chill at Michigan when on a winter's day her waters rage along the shore in thunderous display? Does the word aloha make you warm? Do you stare in disbelief when you see the surf come roaring in at Waimea Reef? From Alaska's cold to the Everglades, from the Rio Grande to Maine, my heart cries out, my pulse runs fast, the might of her domain. You ask me why I love her? I've a million reasons why. My beautiful America, beneath God's wide, wide sky.
That doesn't get your blood boiling, not much of anything else will. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, and to all the freedom-loving Christians and patriots all across this great republic and around the world, I bid you welcome this evening to another installment of Perspectives on America. I'm your host, Jeffrey Bennett. Welcome to our third installment of this evening's program. Fascism, Judgment on Washington. A brief review of the first two episodes, if you'll allow for just a moment. In our first installment, we in effect set this up as a court case accusing elected officials, judges, globalists for having in fact sold us, we the people, and this sovereign great republic of ours down the river. The question we ask, are they the only ones that are at fault? When I listen to the words spoken by John Wayne in our opening piece of music tonight, America, Why I Love Her, it makes one sit back and get somewhat misty-eyed over the great losses that we've allowed to take place in this nation over this last half a century by having sat back and done nothing because we felt we could not fight City Hall. The question I pose to you this evening briefly, is America yet the home of the brave? Without a doubt, some of the bravest people in history have called America home. Dauntless men and women carved this nation out of rock. Americans have historically been unafraid to aggressively engage whatever adversary appeared before them. General George S. Patton is quoted as having said, "Americans love a good fight." Indeed, our veins run rich with the blood of men who would attack hell with a squirt gun if they thought it was the right thing to do. It's more than perplexing, therefore, to note the timidity being demonstrated by this generation of Americans. What has happened to this once brave nation? In the home, parents are afraid to discipline their children. By the time a child knows how to talk, he or she knows they are in charge. Somehow the Just Say No campaign never made it to modern American parenting. In the classroom, teachers complain about the sizes of their classes. Today, a class of 20 will have an assistant teacher, a teacher's aide, a teacher's apprentice, a student helper, a computer hooked up to the internet, and a television set, complete with a video cassette player. And still, the average teacher is unable to control his or her classroom. You know, when I attended public grammar school a lot more years ago than I'd like to think of, the average class size was in many cases double what it is today. The teacher had no helpers or assistants, no computers or TVs, in spite of these so-called disadvantages. He or she had perfect control of the class. Those teachers had the courage to take on the toughest class situations, and they did it without complaining. The typical pastor today doesn't have the courage to tackle basic moral issues. He couldn't preach his way out of a paper sack. He has the backbone of a jellyfish. He couldn't stand up to the knitting committee if he needed to. Stand and fight against Satan and sin? That's out of the question. When is the last time you saw or heard an unrepentant backslider churched? I recall the old preachers throwing people out of the church during the middle of a service, and it didn't matter if he was the richest man in town either. Brother, those men weren't afraid of the devil. Seems to me that a little courage could go a long way today. It would appear, however, that courage is not the high priority item right now with a majority of the American people, even among those who call themselves conservatives. This is obvious by the fact that in the presidential race, the most courageous conservative of all has received the fewest votes of all. Well, I'm going to share this with you. You're not going to get a take down that wall speech from a man who can't even tell us whether abortion is an issue worth considering when selecting Supreme Court justices. How can we expect a man who is intimidated by pipsqueaks in the media to stand up against the likes of the butchers of Beijing? Or, in fact, the butcher of Waco? Friends, freedom does not fit cowards. If we expect to bequeath to our posterity a free nation, we had better start demanding some courage from those who lead us. It would help, too, if we started showing a little bit of courage ourselves. Remember, there is no substitute for victory. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, the first use of the word racism in this country was by an American fascist, Lawrence Dennis, in 1936. It seems that both the word racism and racist came from a German Jewish medical scientist and author somewhere around 1933 or 34. Now, doesn't it seem strange that a word coined in Germany in the 30s and first used here in America by a known fascist would be such a catchword for the politically correct? My feeling is, our author continues, that these words are being used by the fascunists to provide a starting point for what might be called tribal warfare, or in fact a type of ethnic cleansing. America was meant by its founders to be a white, homogeneous nation. Prior to the 60s, the great majority of the white citizens of this country were what would now be called racist or even white supremacists. All of our presidents, through Dwight D. Eisenhower, were known to hold a view that America was a white country and there was no mention of multiculturalism or multiracism. Many other great leaders are also known to have had the same idea, that America was to be a white nation of European immigrants and their descendants. Even writers throughout our history have made references to that. People like Walt Whitman, Jack London, a known socialist, by the way, and Mark Twain all believed in a white America. Now, these people, presidents, politicians, leaders, writers, are now either eliminated from history books, severely criticized, or their works and ideas are distorted or even banned. A good example of what is done is the inscription on the inside of a monument to one of the greatest Americans who ever lived, Thomas Jefferson. The inscription reads, "Nothing is more certainly written in the book of fate than that these people, the Negroes, shall be free." Well, that is only half the quote. The rest of the quote was left out for the obvious reason that it reads, quote, "Nor is it less certain that the two races equally free cannot live under the same government," end quote. This is the way the fascists misuse our real heroes and change their intentions. Now, do I think that whites are better than blacks? Or Asians and American Indians? Not really. They're just different. Those differences should tell us that a multi-race, multicultural country will not work. Even the Roman Empire fell soon after their version of multiculturalism was introduced. For this country or any country to survive and prosper, there must be a dominant culture. Immigration falls into the same category as racism. We are told that we must accept any race, creed, or religion and make them feel welcome. Now, our original immigration laws were written to favor European immigrants. This was for the purpose of making sure that the country remained homogeneous. The laws have since been changed to favor any group that isn't white. Even illegal immigrants are given more rights than most citizens. This, my friends, is wrong. They should have no rights. We're talking illegal immigrants here. These people aren't here illegally. These people are here illegally. Therefore, they are breaking the law and should be treated as criminals. The fascists, however, do not see it this way. They see this as an opportunity to seize even more power. Anyone who disagrees with their point of view is immediately labeled as a xenophobe. This is another fascist ploy. Labeling. Let's take a look at different races and cultures and see how all of this works. Blacks were originally brought here from Africa as slaves. More than 200 years later, the descendants of these slaves are still calling for retribution. And while I don't agree with slavery, I had nothing to do with it. I've never owned a slave, nor did any of my ancestors. Oh, yet I'm supposed to pay and keep paying for the injustice done to the ancestors of today's blacks. We suffer not only financially, but in the loss of our freedoms. And because of affirmative action laws, something Al Gore is certainly in favor of, I'm no longer free to hire who I want, sell to who I want to, rent to who I want to, or many other things. I have to go on a list for a job and not be hired until a quota of blacks and other minority groups is fulfilled. This is wrong. This, my friends, unto itself is totalitarianism. However, the big lie is told, and we are told that this is what the American citizen wants. We're told that this is for our own good. That is fascism. And while, as I stated, I don't believe in slavery, where would today's blacks be if it were not for slavery? Had their ancestors not been brought here as slaves, by the way, sold by their own people into slavery, they would all still be in Africa. Maybe they feel they would be better off in Rwanda or one of the other African countries where there is tribal warfare and mass slaughter going on constantly. You know, many of the black-run African countries are nothing more than cesspools of murder and mayhem. That is what today's American blacks were saved from. And, of course, we come to our friends from the South, the Hispanics. The Hispanics that came here are mostly from Mexico. A great percentage of them are here illegally. And yet we're told that we should treat them as good or better than Americans born in America. They do not need to learn our language. We're supposed to learn theirs. Tests and instructions need to be printed in their language. Their children are taught in their native language. They are given welfare, medical care, and anything else they need while people born in this country go hungry because of it. They take jobs that Americans need and complain that they are underpaid or taken advantage of. Where in our Constitution does it state that we are supposed to treat illegal aliens better than natural-born citizens? Many of these people are drug dealers, bringing in and distributing illegal drugs. Yet, when they are caught, we don't seem to be able to do a damn thing about it. All of these things are promulgated and promoted by the fascists. It is but one more step to take America away from the Constitution and put it on a level of the third world countries. And now Asians. Here we see a little bit different problem. The Chinese were first brought here as coolies, another polite word for slaves, to work for next to slave wages. Many other Asians are here because we went in and bombed their countries in the name of peace and freedom. Others are here illegally to take advantage of what we will give them. Many of these people refuse to learn our language, want to keep their customs, do not want to assimilate into our culture, and while these people are told by the fascists that they do not need to change their customs, that's not always true. There are certain things that the fascists find offensive and repugnant, things such as the use of cats and dogs for food. They, the fascists, seem to forget that in some countries eating beef or pork is offensive and repugnant. American Indians, the so-called Native Americans, this is a group of people that, because of the fascist, has America right where it wants it. While more and more of the average citizen's sovereignty is being taken away, the Indian is being made more and more sovereign. They have basically the same rights under the Constitution as other Americans, and yet they have reservations which are considered sovereign nations. Their treaties are honored in ways never intended. We are told by the fascists that the reason for this is that we took the country away from them forcibly. That, friends, is a lot of garbage. Looking back into history, it can be found that in almost every country in the world, wars were fought, people were conquered, and the country was taken over by the conquerors. This is why wars are fought in the first place. As late as 1947, the Jews fought for and took over what is now Israel. Do they give the Arabs special privileges? Are the Arabs treated as good or better than the Jews that conquered the country? I think that the question will answer itself on the nightly news most nights. The answer is no. The Indians should be made equal citizens under the Constitution, not be given any special privileges. Reservations should be a thing of the past, and the Indian sovereignty should be eliminated. However, this is not good enough for the fascists. It doesn't sell well on the evening news. They need this type of disunion to further split this country into factions. And now we come to the Jews. While what I say here will get me labeled anti-Semitic, I've probably been labeled racist already, I feel it plays a large part in today's problems. No, I am not anti-Semitic, nor am I a racist. I merely think along certain lines which I consider to be American. Jews are not really a separate race. However, as a group, they need to be looked at. While many Jews are fascists and hold to political correctness and preach multiculturalism, they are one of the most homogeneous groups in this country. Jews are told to marry other Jews. They form close-knit groups. They live in Jewish neighborhoods and teach their children in the ways of the Jew. There seem to be some differences among the various groups of Jews, the Orthodox believing one way, the Zionist another, and the secular Jew believing something completely different. Many Jews believe themselves, first, citizens of Israel, and secondly, citizens of America. They feel this way even though they were born and raised in the United States. This and the fact that any time that you don't agree with the Jews' point of view or even question them on that point of view, you are labeled as anti-Semite. That causes a tremendous amount of friction in this country. I really have no idea how many Jews were killed during the Holocaust, but I do know that none of we Americans killed them. And yet they expect special treatment and special privileges because of it. We as white Americans of European descent are blamed for every atrocity that occurs in the world. The Jews that attain places of power in politics, the media, government, and entertainment mouth the fascist line right down to the last letter. These are the very same Jews that want their own culture kept intact. They want nothing bad said about Israel. And they want America to support Israel to the fullest extent, both financially and militarily. These are just a few of the examples, my friends. A few of the examples of how immigration and race are being used by the fascists to foment the American public. Much more could be written on the subject and has been by many other writers. Our author, Stephen J. Norling, says, I merely picked out a few subjects that show what is really going on. America should be a homogeneous country. But instead, it's becoming a multicultural, multiracial, multi-hatred country. Oh, there are other things too. For instance, we're now told that we should learn about Kwanzaa and help celebrate. You see, Kwanzaa takes place during the Christmas season. This means that we would need to give up a portion of a very important Christian holiday. This is what is wanted, to rid this country of its Christian heritage. To rid this country of its Christian heritage. This means we would need to give up a portion of a very important Christian holiday. Some American cities now spend more money to celebrate Cinco de Mayo, the Mexican Independence Day, than they do on the celebration of our own American Independence Day. This is done to belittle the importance of our independence and sovereignty. Well, there's a lot of examples of this type that we could give you, but I think you get the idea. We Americans are supposed to change our thinking to fit the customs of immigrants and other groups that have other beliefs. This is all in the name of multiculturalism. The thing we need to remember here is to become multicultural, we first have to get rid of the American culture. Another thing that all of this immigration and multiculturalism brings is interracial marriages. When we breed animals, we always look to have purity in the breeds. We want a pedigree that goes back many generations. Are we American human beings told that we are less than animals? This is just another way for the fascists to dilute the American culture. Interracial affairs and even marriages always have been and probably always will be. Just like dogs that don't care what breed the mating dog is. Now what do you come up with? Mongrels. Immigration has always been important to America. Prior to the coming of fascism, we always had stringent immigration laws. These laws were enforced, and if you were illegal, you stayed hidden from public view. Becoming an American citizen meant something then. It meant that you had assimilated into the American culture. And now, it means absolutely nothing. A vote for one of these scumbag parties or another. Political parties, of course, but scumbag nonetheless. Now it means absolutely nothing. Many immigrants, both legal and illegal, prefer to remain citizens of their native country. All races and nationalities should be given equal opportunities, but no one should receive special treatment based on that color or nationality. The fascists, they're using this as a ploy to create dissension in the population. They may think that when it gets bad enough, they can appoint a dictator to take this country into the New World Order. Isn't that what resides in the White House as of this day, a dictator? One world government led by the UN and with NATO as their police force. That's what they're looking for. Possibly they may think that telling the big lie long enough, they and their lapdog media may be able to convince enough of the population that that is what Americans want. And I'm not convinced that maybe Americans don't think this way already. Enough of the citizens seem to be able to be made to believe everything that the media says. So this could work. And in fact, I believe, personally, this broadcast journalist believe it already has worked. It's time to go back to the Constitution and its original amendments. Immigration needs to be controlled and things like affirmative action need to be eliminated. Equal opportunity for all is what America was built on. Special privileges were never mentioned in the founding of this great country. I resent being told that I must like someone simply because they are black or I am racist. That no matter how desperate they are, I can't say anything against a Jew or I'm anti-Semitic, and that I must celebrate Mexican holidays or I'm a xenophobe. I also resent the fact that if I can't be proud to be white, I'm not allowed to be proud of the fact that I'm white. We're surrounded by black pride, Hispanic pride, Asian pride, American Indian pride, but if we say that we are proud to be white, we are racists. All of this, my friends, must end in order for America to continue to function as the founders foresaw. Again, believe it or not, it's all in the Constitution. Now, go figure that. What an absolute surprise. In just a couple of moments, we're going to take a brief musical interlude. A little bit of Steve Voss. I want you, maybe for the first time, you're about to hear this song. Maybe you've never really closely listened to the words. As I ask the question, will you be among the patriots?
Signs.
Little Steve Voss. Actually, Big Steve Voss, not Little Steve Voss. He wouldn't like me calling him Little Steve Voss. Will you be among the Patriots? Obviously, one has to listen carefully to the words in that song to determine what kind of an American you are. Are you willing to stand up against the fascists for what they're trying to cram down our throat? A little bit later in this program, we're going to, our closing piece of music today will be another piece by John Wayne called The Hyphen. I've not done this for quite some time. It is a pretty profound comment on the segment of the program that we've just completed this last 20 minutes or so, talking about racism and immigration and what the fascists are attempting to get us to believe in and the way they want us to conduct our lives, etc., etc. We have other areas to be concerned about, and how do the fascists deal with the morals, responsibilities? Ah, Jeff, responsibilities. That's a word that few people in this country pay heed to. What are their responsibilities? Well, my friends, this is the area where the fascists have really and truly taken over. They've turned to newspeak and perpetuated the more big lies. Some call it cultural communism, and that may be how it started. And if that is true, the conspiracy behind the fascists are using them and using them well. Go back and look at our previous series or listen to it, Mission from Moscow, and you'll have a far stronger understanding of what that cultural communism and that socialism was all about. And the fact that they infiltrated our government and our entertainment industry so well for so many years. You know, a main portion of the big lie on this front is you cannot legislate morality. Well, that's a bunch of doo-doo. It's bunk. It's pure bunk. Murder, rape, assault, battery, theft, robbery, these are all moral issues, and they have been legislated against. Each and every one of them has had legislation passed against them. Hate crimes is the biggest buzzword this year. Wouldn't it stand to reason that if you cannot legislate morality, that these things should be legal? We're told that it's all right to be amoral, but not immoral. That's a contradiction and a big part of the big lie, my friends. To be amoral means not to have any moral code at all. Those who have absolutely no moral code cannot be immoral, nor can they be moral. Being amoral, they have no parameters on which to judge either. Without these moral parameters, each person gets to set their own rules as to what is right and what is wrong. This will eventually lead to total anarchy, which is what the fascists in fact want. Going hand in hand with his lack of morals, of course, is the total lack of responsibility, self or otherwise. When someone breaks one of our laws that is based on morality, oh my goodness, it's never their fault. When a teenage girl gets pregnant, it's not her fault. When someone robs a bank or a convenience store, it's not their fault. When a teenager kills their parents, oh no, it's not possibly their fault. We have no-fault divorces, no-fault insurance, and who knows, no-fault what else? Oh, that must be what it is. It's a no-fault presidency. That's correct. You can't blame young kids for the things they do, or you might injure their poor little feelings. You can't blame adults because either they were never taught differently or as children, or if they were taught different, that teaching is what injured them and made them turn to a life of crime. Friends, it's a no-win situation in this nation today. In the recent school murders by bombing and shooting in Colorado, not once did I hear the two youths who committed these heinous crimes blamed. Their parents were blamed, teachers, the school system, police, a girlfriend, the man who sold a couple of guns to one of the youths, psychiatrist, video games, movies, or anything or anyone else that could be thought of, but never once the youth themselves. NATO's bombed Kosovo, but when the Chinese embassy was hit or when other non-military targets were hit and civilians killed, oh no, it wasn't their fault. The fault lies, they say, in the Yugoslav president. NATO invades a sovereign country because of a civil war to save the people by killing them, and when people get killed, they blame the country that they invaded. Pure fascist newspeak is all that that is. A lot of the no morals, no blame started with the so-called sexual revolution. The Kinsey Report was widely used as a guideline as to what people did and what was okay or not okay. It started in the late 50s and reached full maturity in the 60s. Much of what was put forth as the new morality in the 60s is still with us today. Witness the commander-in-chief that resides in the White House as of the night of this recording. Many people don't even realize how much has changed. There are young people that they virtually grew up with today's sexual mores. Those of us who are old enough to remember the old morality have become so inured to the way it is that we sometimes forget that it was ever any other way at all. What's more, we've come to accept these changes as just part of life. Let's take a look at some of the things that have changed and how the fascists are using them to further their cause. First and foremost, and this one sickens me, is abortion. This is a subject I can well remember arguing back in the 60s. When I said abortion was murder of a baby and was wrong, I was told that it was a woman's right to do with her body as she pleased and none of my damn business. I was also told that it wasn't a baby. It was a fetus. That's a fascist newspeak if I ever heard of it. Fetus. Besides, they told me, abortions would be limited to the first trimester and then only in cases of rape, incest, or if the mother's life were in danger. I would then ask what they would think when abortion became a common method of birth control, when a woman had the right to an abortion from moment of conception to the moment of birth. At that point, I was usually laughed out of the discussion and told that could never happen in America. That would be murder. Look where we are today. Not only are all types of abortions legal at any time, young girls see nothing wrong with killing the baby shortly after birth. Oh, I suppose one could call that post-birth abortion. The fascists in government, in the courts, and the media have made all of this possible. Whatever happened to the responsibility of young girls not to get pregnant? Or the responsibility of the young boys not to get a girl pregnant? Whatever happened to marrying the girl you got pregnant and raising the child? Whatever happened to being responsible for the child you created? And this goes for both the male and the female. Abortion, my friends, is still murder, and just changing the word baby into fetus doesn't make it any less so. A human life is a human life. The fact that the baby is the wrong gender will interfere with my lifestyle, can't be afforded, belongs to one of many boyfriends and not my husband, isn't perfect, or any one of a thousand other reasons given for abortions, none of it makes it right. The fascists tell us, if it feels good, do it. And there's no reason to accept responsibility. Euthanasia? Well, I guess that falls into the same category. Once we've been desensitized to the death of the unborn, we might as well start killing off the very old. It's called assisted suicide now, thanks to Jack Kevorkian, but it's killing just the same. Once the taking of a life by assisted suicide becomes common, it may no longer be the patient themselves who makes the decision to terminate their life. Imagine, if you will. Just think about this. Once the world gets still more populated, people being chosen for death because of their age, some deformity, a costly medical problem, or any other criteria that someone else, probably government, lays down, that couldn't happen in America, you say? That would be murder, you say? Think about what you just heard about abortion and the answers to our concerns 30 years ago. Many fascists believe that there are already too many humans on this earth. What better way to get rid of them to eliminate the aged, the infirm? Kind of like ethnic cleansing with a different set of parameters. Another thing that the sexual revolution complements of the fascist has brought is the homosexual lesbian movement. Homos and lesbians have been around since the beginning of recorded history. However, these people have been considered to be sinners. This is true not only in Christianity, but in all of the religions I'm aware of. In both the Christian and Jewish Bibles, homosexuality is an abomination before the Lord. By using amorality as their code, the fascists have made these homosexuals and lesbians seem almost superior to heterosexuals. You've got to remember, it's not their fault. They have no responsibility for it. They were just born that way. I don't believe that for a moment. These people choose to live the life they live. It may be harder for some people to live a heterosexual life, but it is possible. It is a choice. Take the easy way out, they're told. We'll make it legal. We'll give you benefits. We'll give you special privileges. The fashionists tell them all these things. All at the expense of the taxpayers, and in contradiction to the wishes of the majority of the population. I believe one of the reasons for the fascists doing this is population control. Think about it once again. Two people of the same gender cannot make babies. That, and the fact that the fascists want total people control, is all that is needed. What's going to be next? Are we going to legalize and glamorize pedophilia, bestiality, rape? If a homosexual is born that way, doesn't it stand to reason that a pedophile or a rapist is also born the way he or she is? This is the direction I see this nation going. One of the ways the communists intended to take over this country was to eliminate our moral standards. They are going about it in a very specific and precise manner. Once we've learned to accept one deviant act as normal and natural, they take the next step. They keep pushing the envelope until soon we will have no moral code whatsoever. When the moral code is completely gone, we will be in a state of anarchy. And as I've stated earlier, and may state many, many more times, that is exactly what the fascists want. Anarchy is a big step to turning a country into a dictatorship. Where does the responsibility for all of this end, my friends? Where does the responsibility for all of this lie? Well, first we have to look at responsibility itself. I've stated earlier that no one seems to be responsible for their own actions. However, according to our reprehensible president, we white Americans of European descent are responsible for all of the problems in the entire world. Oh, you remember he went to Africa and took responsibility for us for all of the problems on the entire continent? We are responsible for all of their wars, the death, their poverty, and anything else bad that is happening. My friends, I submit to the court that that is a bunch of crap. He only says that because he knows there's no way of anything being done. He knows we've got a spineless Congress that will not reprimand him for one thing he does or does not do. Where he could stop the bombing of Yugoslavia, stop the killing for which he and a few NATO leaders are responsible, he claims no responsibility whatsoever. What I believe is happening here is that the government is taking over at telling us when we are responsible. They take the decision out of the hands of the individual and put it into the hands of government. This is just another step toward taking the dictatorship of fascism. We're being told that we are too stupid to know what we are responsible for. We're also being told that there is no individual responsibility, but that is a group. We are responsible for everything bad that ever happened. The more we allow government to do this, the more freedoms they will take, and the sooner Big Brother fascism will take over completely for all of government's propensity for taking responsibility for certain actions. They never seem to reap any consequences. Take the Waco, Texas massacre of over 80 men, women, and children. Janet Reno and Bill Clinton took full responsibility for that. But what retribution has ever been made? What punishment has ever been suffered? None. Fascist newspeak has turned the word responsibility into something that means two different things. One definition is for the government, and the other definition is for the rest of us lower class slobs. Another case showing how individual responsibility has been eliminated is to look at the gun issue. In the wake of all the school shootings, especially the one in Colorado, most gun laws are being written and probably some will be passed. More gun laws are being written and some will pass. In light of the fact that the two youths in Colorado broke at least 20 laws to do what they did. Does it make any sense to think that one more law or 10 more laws or 200 more laws will solve the problem? Rather than put responsibility where it belongs on the two youth, the fashionist would rather abrogate the Second Amendment. Do they really think that one more law is going to make any difference whatsoever? I doubt it. This is just another way to make sure that as many of our rights as possible are taken away. The fact is, to get to the point of having a dictatorship, all rights need to be negated. They need to be wiped out, suspended, done away with. The first right that needs to go is the right to keep and bear arms. That is to make sure that we cannot defend ourselves. That is the reason that when crimes are committed using firearms, the firearm is blamed, not the criminal. Oh no, the criminal has no responsibility for what he did. The gun made him do it. Blaming the gun for a crime is a little like blaming the automobile when a drunk driver kills someone. Laying the responsibility for crime on the manufacturers of guns is like telling General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler that they are responsible for all drunken driving deaths, or maybe even all traffic deaths. The fact is, my friend, the responsibility lies, as it always has, with the individual. The individual. We, the people. This is true. Whether it is a criminal who kills with a gun or a criminal who drives drunk and kills with a car, we need to get back to accepting individual responsibility for our own actions. However, this is not what the fascists want. No, they don't want us to be self-responsible because that means we have a brain and we have morals and we take control when we're supposed to. We need to get back to accepting individual responsibilities for our own actions. Our own actions. But that's not what the fascists want. Don't you know that? They want us to ignore individual responsibility while accepting general responsibility for all the ills in the world. This will bring the much-needed anarchy to which will help them fulfill their aims. Responsibility. Where does the responsibility of the failure of our government lie? Is it with our elected officials? Is it with the appointed judges in the courts? Is it with our teachers? Is it with our doctors? Is it with our financial advisors? I submit to you and to the court. The responsibility lies within us. We must take America back. I'll be right back with you. And the fact that the bad guys most always go free, that is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad.
Some city schoolyards, when bullets and birth control outnumber books, something's wrong. There's a hunger for good news and heroes, but good news is no news, so all of the heroes are gone. We must take America. And bleed us and take all our money and send it abroad.
how do we, the people, take the responsibility for putting those new leaders in office? As if this evening's program, we are, I believe, less than 2 weeks away from the elections of the year 2000, the presidential elections, the campaign winds down. I believe the final selection has already been made, because we, the people, have turned over the responsibility of that selection to others. We let others vote. We let others speak for us, including this broadcaster. We no longer are willing to take the responsibility for standing up arm in arm, no matter who our selection is, whether it's a Pat Buchanan or a George Bush or a Bill Clinton or an Al Gore or a Harry Brown or a Ralph Nader. We don't have enough guts to stand up and scream, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And I'm going to support the candidate that I know will be right for America. No, it's much easier to lay down and vote for the one that we think is going to be the winner, or to make the decision to stay out of the foray and not get involved and not even cast a vote at all. To make our public officials aware of the fact that we are aware of vote scam and how it operates. And to be at those city council meetings and those school board meetings. We must take America back. Now, once again, we reach the end of our time. You've just been listening to hour number 3 of our ongoing series, Fauciunism, Judgment on Washington. Time to go. Once again, these words from John Wayne with closing commentary on the earlier segment of this program.
Webster's Dictionary defines is a symbol used to divide a compound word or a single word. So it seems to me that when a man calls himself an Afro-American, a Mexican-American, Italian-American, Irish-American, Jewish-American, what he's saying is, I'm a divided American. Well, we all came from other places, different creeds, different races, to form a nation, to become as one. Yet look at the harm a line has done. A simple little line, and yet as divisive as a line can get. A crooked cross the Nazis flew, and the Russian hammer and sickle, too. Time bombs. In the lives of man. But none of these could ever fan the flames of hatred faster than the hyphen. The Russian hammer built a wall that locks men's hearts from freedom's call. The crooked cross flew overhead above 20 million tragic dead. Among them, men from this great nation who died for freedom's preservation. A hyphen is a line that's small. Bridge or be a wall. A bridge can save you lots of time. A wall you always have to climb. The road to liberty lies true. Ivan's use is up to you. Used as a bridge, it can span all the differences of man. Being free in mind and soul should be our most important goal. If you use the hyphen as a wall, you'll make your life mean and small. An American is a special breed whose people came to her in need. They came to her that they might find a world where they'd have peace of mind, where men are equal and something more, stand taller than they stood before. So you be wise in your decision, and that little line won't cause division. Let's join hands with one another, for in this land each man's your brother. United we stand, divided we fall. We're Americans, and that says it all.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day. And in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.